Pictures presents David Carradine in Death Race 2000 with narrative description by Audio Vision Canada. Raceway stand with hands over their hearts as the flag of the United States is raised on the stadium flagpole. The traditional blue star field has been replaced by a red field with a clenched fist in a black racing gauntlet. One of the spectators waves a swastika flag. Thousands of fans pack the stands as a futuristic city looms beyond. The gray-haired deacon mounts the podium, his arms raised in blessing.
Oh, great American multitude and sports fans everywhere. Today we inaugurate the 20th annual Transcontinental Road Race. Today, the five bravest young men and women in this bravest of nations will risk their lives in the greatest sporting event since the days of Spartacus. 3 days hence, a new American champion will be crowned for all the world to behold in awe, in respect, in fear.
All right, all right. This is Junior Bruce, your buddy and mine. And I'll be giving you the blow-by-blow, play-by-play when the kings and queens of the open road roar onto the track. Do I hear the sound of engines? It's Calamity Jane Kelly, queen of the road, at the wheel of that mean old ornery stud bull.
Two vicious-looking horns protrude from the front of the bull.
Zany Janie, winner of this year's trials at Watkins Glen, placed second in 1998 and led in last year's second lap until she went out with gear trouble.
Her fans and lovers everywhere wish Janie better luck this year.
My fans can wish me all the luck they want. If my luck with my lovers gets any better, I'll miss the race completely. Isn't that right, Pete?
Below the stands.
At the start of the race, only a heartthrob away, this is Grace Pander on the spot, as usual, to welcome the greatest racer of all time and a very dear friend of mine. Yes, in just a moment, he will be coming through the doors.
As a doctor wheels in a gurney draped with a sheet, Grace and the other reporters gather around.
There is no cause for alarm. The patient has been flown in from abroad in a state of suspended animation in order to facilitate the healing of his recent limb transplants. He should be coming around any moment now.
As the patient sits up, the sheet slides off.
Frankenstein, can you give me an exclusive? How are things abroad?
How is Mr. President? Is he still in Moscow?
Mr. President is in his summer palace in Peking. He loves everybody.
And everybody loves him.
Back on the track.
Here she is, that adorable swastika sweetheart, Matilda the Hun from Milwaukee, and her lovable Nazi navigator, Herman the German Fox.
A shoving match breaks out between opposing groups of fans as Matilda pulls up to the starting line in her car, the Buzz Bomb.
Matilda, Herman, do you think this is your turn to be first and foremost in sunny California?
Today, California.
Tomorrow, the world.
Hiya, Herman. I hope your buzz bomb has a little more juice than its warhead this year.
Glancing down at his crotch, Herman grins uncomfortably.
Whoever named your car the Bull was only half right.
Meanwhile,
Frankenstein, will Mr. President fly in to crown the winner of the race?
Yes. Is it true that with your new mechanical arm, you can shift gears in less than a 20th of a second? Would you care to comment on that?
No.
How do you feel about going into the race with a navigator you've never met?
You'll love Annie. She's a red-hot sex pot.
She better be a red-hot navigator.
Frankenstein pushes past the reporters.
No more questions.
It's the lion, and at the wheel, Ray Nero the Hero Lonigan. Never sure has finished the Transcontinental, but three big wins in the provinces this season, plus a brand new beast, means Nero's not fiddling around.
Sit still, Cleopatra, and stop blocking me. My fans want to see me.
They've never seen a has-been before?
Inside, Frankenstein, a leather-clad figure in a black mask and cape, walks toward his car.
Annie Smith?
Mr. Frankenstein. I've checked out the car and everything seems perfect. I have the route maps right here.
I will check them in a minute. We will roll when everything seems perfect to me.
I've packed some high-protein capsules and as many adrenaline tablets as I could find. And I've also assembled a medical kit, just in case. I'm trained as a nurse.
I don't need a nurse. I need a navigator.
Mr. Frankenstein, you're very good at what you do, and I'm very good at what I do.
We'll see.
And you know, there's only one person who guns an engine like that. It's gotta be the roughest, tough guy of them all, Machine Gun Joe Viterbo! Here he comes, Machine Gun Joe, loved by thousands, hated by millions. Only living previous winner except for Frankenstein, highest lifetime score after Frankenstein, and he's certainly getting the welcome he deserves.
Joe doesn't look too happy, but you just can't keep those Frankenstein fans down.
Lousy sons of bitches.
Frankenstein!
Give it to them, Joe!
More Frankenstein! I'll give it, Frankenstein!
Joe sprays the crowd with a Tommy gun.
Frankenstein the indestructible, sole survivor of the Titanic pileup of 95, only two-time winner of the Transcontinental Road Race. Frankenstein, ripped up, wiped out, battered, shattered, creamed and reamed, a dancer on the brink of death. Frankenstein, who lost a leg in 98, an arm in 99, with half a face and half a chest and all the guts in the world, he's back. God only knows what he looks like under that mask, but he is back. In the name of Mr. President, America loves you, Frankenstein!
Frankenstein pulls up to the starting line in the monster with its protruding front teeth. As he stands to receive the adulation of his fans, Machine Gun Joe spits at the car.
You will regret that, Joe.
Stay tuned, racing fans. T-Video Satellite will bring every mile of thrills and spills into your living room. All five cars are in starting position here at New York Memorial Raceway, ready to roll. Now, we take you to the Summer Palace and Mr. President.
A golden mist swirls over a long flight of stairs. At the top of the stairs, a brilliant light shines through the mist as Mr. President steps up to the TV camera.
My children, whom I love so dearly, it has been my duty in the long and difficult years since the world crash of 79 to serve you as best I could. Never before in history have the masses forgone all comfort so that the spirit of genius might thrive and seek the golden key to a new time of plenty in the fertile field of minority privilege. And now, my children, the drivers are ready, the world is waiting. Once more, I give you what you want.
At Mr. President's signal, the race begins. At the TV studio.
Good morning, Americans. Once again, the race is underway, with 12-hour pit stops scheduled at St. Louis and Albuquerque, home of the American Indian Museum. At this very moment, the cars are howling through the streets of Manhattan, but no points have been scored as yet. Take it away, Junior Bruce.
They're coming out of the Lincoln Tunnel now, with Frankenstein and Joe running neck and neck. Then it's the Lion, driven by Pass By, Calamity Jane in the Bull, moving into third place.
cars barrel along an empty freeway. Outside the city, Frankenstein edges his car into Machine Gun Jones. Joe falls back, then catches up as they sweep around a curve. But on the straightaway, Frankenstein moves into the lead. Running neck and neck with Calamity Jane, Machine Gun Joe sideswipes her and runs her off the road. But Jane maintains control and rejoins the race. As he passes Matilda the Hun, Machine Gun Joe slides off the road and skids to a halt. Undamaged, he rejoins the race, sunlight reflecting off the machine guns and giant bayonet mounted on the front of his car. Running hard, the cars approach an interchange.
All right, and hey, 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 the cars have split up, the drivers taking off on their favorite routes. Frankenstein still out in front, headed due west, with Nero the hero on his tail, hoping to pick up his leftovers. Calamity Jane's on a northwest tack. Matilda's Buzz Bomb is trying to catch up with Machine Gun Joe, now streaking southwest.
At an abandoned power plant...
I have made the United Provinces of America the greatest power in the known universe. I have also given you the most popular sporting event in the history of mankind. The Transcontinental Road Race, which upholds the American tradition of no holds barred.
No holds barred. That's how he got to be president. Hypocrite pig, what about our ultimatum? He's been laughing us off for 15 years. Passive resistance means nothing to him.
Pick up that flag, young man.
It's time for action.
It is not a time for violence.
Mrs. Payne, I love Annie as much as you do. But she's no match for Frankenstein. And we can't risk letting him get away. Frankenstein is the biggest target in the world and a personal friend of Mr. President's.
That, Lieutenant Fury, is exactly why they'll call off the race. To save his life. My granddaughter will succeed.
Don't you ever take off that mask?
No. Don't you know about my face?
I've heard stories. Nobody's ever seen it, have they?
Except my other navigators.
And they're all dead.
So they are.
They say you lost most of your jaw in the crack of 92.
And my right eye, 95. And my nose and my left eye, 97. And most of my cranium, 98. I'm held together with patches of plastic and steel plates. It's not a pretty sight. You want to see?
Why not? I've seen everything else.
Remember, doing this on your own, I take no responsibility.
Annie peels Frankenstein's mask from his face, which shows no scars or damage.
What'd you expect? Another pretty face?
Meanwhile, in Machine Gun Joe's car...
They really love you, Joe.
Yeah? How come they ain't down there on the road proving it?
Hey, you better make this left turn. You'll shave off about 2 miles that way.
Yeah, all right.
Up ahead, a crew is repairing the road. Two of the men dash for safety at Joe's approach, and the rest scatter, leaving the jackhammer operator to his fate. Joe's bayonet spears him in the groin.
All right, and yes, sirree, a clean hit, a perfect hit, and no pain for the target. Too bad the guy was only 38. Just 2 years older, he'd have been worth three times the points, but... For the second year in a row, Machine Gun Joe has splattered the scoreboard first.
How'd you like that, huh? Get off of that one, Myra, baby!
In Frankenstein's car...
What's the matter with this engine?
I don't know. Sounds fine to me.
Amateurs. Get back there and retard the spark for 3 degrees.
With grim determination, Annie crawls onto the rear deck to make the adjustments. Frankenstein accelerates as Annie reaches into the engine compartment. Then he turns onto a side road. He grins as Andy struggles to retard the spark without falling off. As Frankenstein shifts up, Andy clings to the rear deck, then works her way back into the cockpit.
Glad to see you were able to find your way back.
Annie just glares at him. Meanwhile, on network TV...
As the cars roar into Pennsylvania, the cradle of liberty, it seems apparent that our citizens are staying off the streets, which may make scoring particularly difficult, even with this year's rule changes. To recap those revisions, women are still worth 10 points more than men in all age brackets, but teenagers now rack up 40 points, and toddlers under 12 now rate a big 70 points. The big score, anyone, any sex, over 75 years old, has been upped to 100 points. As always, how fast you move determines how long you live.
At the side of the road, a fan waves a red cape at the racers. Calamity Jane turns off to take up the challenge in the bull. Jane charges, and the matador makes a successful pass with his cape. He makes another pass. And another. And another. This time, the matador drops to one knee, and Jane sweeps by harmlessly. On this charge, one of the bull's horns gores the matador, and Jane turns around for the kill. She takes the matador in the back.
Beautiful kill! A neat kill! No calamities for Jane today, no sir! And you can bet she'll be getting both ears for that one!
Meanwhile, at the Mercy Hospital, the nurses are moving seniors out into the road in wheelchairs and parking them there.
Euthanasia Day at the geriatrics hospital. They do it every year.
Here he comes! He's coming!
Leaving the seniors lined up across the road, the nurses and doctors scamper to safety. Straddling the center line, Frankenstein thunders straight toward the seniors. At the last moment, he swerves to avoid them and races along the sidewalk, mowing down doctors and nurses.
Frankenstein scores! Frankenstein scores at last! But what kind of a score, boys and girls? Just 110 points out of a possible big 700. What do you think about that, Gracie?
Well, those doctors, dear friends of mine, have been pretty smug all these years, setting up the old folks. Frankenstein must have decided it was their turn.
Which only goes to show that even the fearsome Frankenstein has a 100% red-blooded American sense of humor.
At the power plant...
Annie saved those old people, and she'll deliver Frankenstein.
Meanwhile, innocent people are being slaughtered on our highways.
Yeah, they're like Christians being thrown to the gladiators. But just remember, the Christians won.
Fury puts on a woman's hat.
I take it from your attire that your sabotage operations are being carried out, despite my wishes.
Mrs. Payne,
we're set to hit them with everything we've got.
Then in the name of humanity, let Operation Anti-Race begin.
Nero the hero and Cleopatra sweep around a corner in the line.
We're supposed to score in this graveyard.
You're the navigator. That's your problem. You better think of something pretty soon or else you're going to be out on your ass.
It isn't my fault everyone scored before us. You should have gone after that Boy Scout camp like I told you.
I'll try the goddamn Boy Scout camp. You know how fast those Boy Scouts move?
She spots a family of picnickers.
Now here's something more your speed.
It's going to be at least 200 points.
If they scatter, go for the baby and the mother.
They scatter, leaving the baby on the picnic blanket.
Go for the baby! The baby!
Fury watches nearby.
Come get baby.
Bye-bye, baby. Hello, 70 points.
The baby doll is a mine. The explosion... explosion blows the lion apart.
Hey, I'm right. Off the air!
Would you please what take happened? Your places?
Don't
take your places. What you're mine.
What have
Grace on with an interview right now.
Hello, ladies. Isn't this just the most exciting race in years? I certainly think so. And guess what? I have a surprise for you. Mrs. Rhonda Bainbridge in person on my show. The widow of Edward Bainbridge, whom, as we all know, was Machine Gun Joe Viterbo's first score. Welcome to my home. And may I call you Rhonda?
Oh, please do, Mrs. Pander.
Are we about ready here?
Yeah, just about.
Meanwhile, at the power plant...
So we have to go right away.
Thomasina Payne prepares to face a TV camera.
As the widow of the race's first score, you have won a high-style, two-room apartment in Acapulco.
Start the jam!
At the power plant, the rebels fire up a generator.
You will be watching the race on a 50-inch, three-dimensional, octophonic
TV. The rebels take over the network signal.
Oppressed Americans, the execution of the barbarian killer Nero the Hero is the people's first stroke against the evil and corrupt regime of Mr. President.
I am Thomasina Payne, founder and commander of the Army of the Resistance.
For 20 years, Americans have been told when to eat and when to sleep, when to love and when to hate. The age of obedience is over.
In the names of George Washington, Abraham Lincoln,
and Harry Truman, I call upon you to stand up for your inalienable rights. We declare war upon the bipartisan party, on Mr. President,
and on that most inhuman desecration of life and liberty, the transcontinental road rape. I thank you.
On the road.
What the hell was that?
I have no information.
Is this race still on?
I have no information.
Well, what do you think?
About what?
About that speech.
Add spice to the race.
Spice? They killed Nero.
Yeah, they would have got more points for me.
Don't you understand? They've declared war on the race and on you. Aren't you worried?
The only thing that worries me is Machine Gun Joe Viterbo.
Is winning all you care about?
Yes. It's the only standard of excellence left.
Two rebels erect a barricade across a road.
Come on, here they come. About finished. Come on.
They take shelter behind their barricade.
Look at that stupid hole right in the middle. They won't get through there.
The buzz bomb rounds a curve behind the barricade, catching the rebels off guard.
It's
me! The cars converge from all their routes and head for the first pit stop in St. Louis. Machine Gun Joe is still leading the field with Frankenstein second, Calamity Jane third. Leaving Matilda the Hun in fourth position and Calamity Jane facing another calamity.
At St. Louis, right now, workers hang a sign reading, Welcome Frankenstein, over the road.
Hey, get off the rope! Jesus Chrysler, get off the rope!
The workman on the ladder yanks the rope free.
Hey, dummy, come on over and hold the ladder.
But the second man freezes as he spots Machine Gun Joe's car approaching. Joe has stopped to read the sign.
This sacrifice. Where's the one that says Welcome Joe Viterbo?
Score in the center of a big show. You need every point you can get.
Joe knocks the ladder over, and the workman falls to the road.
I only mashed him slightly.
Put him out of his misery, Joe.
Hey, is that fair?
Yeah.
Hey, should I let him go?
The other worker gives Joe a thumbs down.
Fair's always right.
Joe bounces the man across the road. Turning sharply, he runs over the man's head and drives away. Later, lined up in a St. Louis garage, the cars are given the spit-and-polish treatment by their pit crews. Beside Frankenstein's gleaming machine, the twisted remains of the lion lie piled on the floor. Meanwhile, in a large, airy lounge, drivers and their navigators lie naked on a line of rub-down tables. Several photographers and a television cameraman gather before them. A As they begin taking pictures, a government press handler walks among them.
One thing before we begin. The government would like it if nobody said anything about Nero. Understand? He hit a tree and that's it. Got it? We don't want to depress anybody, but...
Hey. Everybody knows he was blown up by the resistance, you schmuck. It was on television.
If you want to drive again next year, Mr. Viterbo, you'll keep those opinions to yourself. Okay, go ahead.
This is Grace Pander from St. Louis, where Matilda, a dear friend of mine, is receiving a well-deserved rubdown. Tell me, Tilly darling, what can we expect from you when the cars go back on the road?
You can expect a victory by a member of the master race, a woman.
Oh, Tilly darling, that certainly is showing a lot of confidence for someone who's lying fourth out of four.
She doesn't mind as long as she's lying somewhere.
Look, when I'm through with you, you're going to be lying in state, lady.
Listen, miss, if anybody is going to Boot Hill, it's you and your biz bag.
Buzz bomb.
Shut up. Look, you just leave my navigator alone.
girls, remember you're on TV land.
Pete, how do you like being a navigator?
Well, Junior, I'd like it more if I was in the driver's seat.
You'll get what's coming to you on the road.
Oh, yeah? Well, what's coming to me is the final solution to the cowgirl problem.
Frankenstein, can you tell us when you're going to make your move? Are you going to take any off-road chances for scores? Or are you driving all out to be first in the new L.A.?
It's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game.
Frankenstein, a dear friend of mine. Frankenstein, tell me how it feels when at that electric instant, driving at 200 miles an hour, life and death coexist at the moment of scoring.
You stand in the middle of Route 66 tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. You can answer that question for yourself.
Still in his costume, Frankenstein stops as he sees Machine Gun Joe and Annie talking quietly. He steps over to Myra's table.
What are you doing? Get away from me. Don't go nuts.
Just tell him I was whispering sweet nothing in your ear.
He pokes a morsel of food into Myra's mouth and leaves. Joe watches him walk away.
Well, Myra, what did Frankenstein have to say to you?
He didn't say anything.
What did he say?
Nothing.
Look, I'm not playing games here, Myra. I want to know what he said.
He said there was nothing sweet in my ear.
In my ear.
Meanwhile, downstairs, Frankenstein flattens himself against the wall. A young woman wearing a Frankenstein fan club sweater descends the stairs, looking for her hero.
What do you want?
My name is Laurie, Mr. Frankenstein. I'm head of Chapter 7, St. Louis Lovers of Frankenstein. I was chosen from over 100 girls.
You offer me your body? Is that it? You want to make love to me because I drive the monster and wear this costume?
No, Mr. Frankenstein. But that wouldn't be fair to your navigator. It's taken her years of hard work to earn that privilege. Besides, we understand your feelings.
What do you know of my feelings?
Everything. Like why you're afraid of falling in love. And why winning the race means everything to you.
How do you know these things?
From my dreams, partly. And from letters I get from other fans. Plus the club subscribes to an astrology service.
Well, if you're not here to offer me your body,
I wanted to meet you, Mr. Frankenstein. I wanted you to know who I am, so it would have meaning.
I don't understand. So what would have meaning?
We love you, Mr. Frankenstein. I know just saying it doesn't mean much.
Why do you love me? Because I kill people?
Scoring isn't killing, Mr. Frankenstein. It's part of the race. You're a national hero, and we want you to know we're with you 100%. Good night, Mr. Frankenstein.
Later, Annie steps out of their bathroom wrapped in a towel.
Didn't you come in?
What were you expecting, Machine Gun Joe? I thought I could trust you.
You really just don't want to give me a chance, do you? I was trying to help you.
I'm sorry.
You what?
Frankenstein begins to remove his leathers.
Sorry.
He wanted to know our route, so I told him to go down 54 through the Cimarron Valley.
54? It's a dead end.
Leads nowhere.
That's right. And if Joe takes it, he's sunk.
The only way Joe will take that road is if he sees us do it first.
Or if he's ahead of us. Is that the arm that came off in 98?
Mm-hmm.
And which one of those obviously perfect legs was came off in 99?
The right.
And the left one was just broken in six places and burned down to the bone. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a miracle you can still walk.
Do you like to dance?
Frankenstein reaches out for her, and Annie takes his hands. She slips into his arms, and they dance. They twirl gracefully across the room, Annie in her towel, Frankenstein in his briefs and mask. Up into Frankenstein's eyes. She reaches up to caress his cheek. As she gently removes his mask, her towel slips to the floor.
Those Swiss mechanics sure did a good job on you. What else did they replace?
Wait a minute. And I'll show you.
He lowers her gently to the bed. The next morning.
Oh, Mr. President, bless thy children and make them strong. Bless thy daughters, Matilda and Jane, and thy son, Joe. And bless thy beloved son, the immortal Frankenstein, who hath given so much pleasure to so many.
The hell with Frankenstein. What about Joe and Turbo?
As Frankenstein rolls the monster up to the starting line, he drops a glove to the ground.
The flag is down and away with Machine Gun Joe blasting into the lead on the second lap of the great transcontinental road race. Frankenstein is making a left turn, splitting early from the pack. Look out, all you folks just south of here.
Gee, Jill, there's nobody even close behind us.
Where's he going? What's he doing?
Hey, what are you doing? Where are we going?
I dropped my glove.
The deacon walks toward it.
Let not the ruin of thy robes strike the tires of thy...
Chrysler! Ladies and gentlemen, by a bizarre accident, Frankenstein has killed our cherished colleague, the deacon of the bipartisan party.
I think you did that on purpose.
Have to give the fans something to talk about. It's my obligation as a national hero.
Frankenstein scores now. Does that score count, Harold?
An interesting point, Junior, and one that may set a significant precedent. Can a racer score a race official?
Oh, and after all those nice things he said about him.
It don't matter. It don't count. You can't score religious personalities.
The word deacon has been handed down to us from the ancient... Frankenstein's score has been approved for 50 points. The confirmation has just been handed to me. Why, you know what that means, Junior. That means that the race officials from coast to coast will be falling like flies.
Frankenstein! Oh, I hate him. I hate him.
It's elevating.
As Machine Gun Joe throws his car into a 360-degree spin, Matilda the Hun rockets past in the buzz bomb, and Joe takes off after. Meanwhile, as Frankenstein drives hard to make up lost time, Lori waits for her hero up ahead. Leaving her in the road, her fellow chapter mates move to the curb. Wearing sacrificial white, Lori opens her welcoming arms to the monster.
Oh, why did she do that?
Show me she loves me.
Up ahead.
Here they come, let's get set.
Three men slide the cover off a manhole and line up across the road for a game of chicken. They peer along the center line as the bull comes into view.
Chicken gang. Chicken in a basket.
Chicken in a casket.
One of the men dives down the manhole. The second man follows, but strands the last man on the surface by pulling the manhole cover into place.
Oh, shit!
The impact launches him into the air. As the dead man's buddies pop the manhole cover open, Joe runs them over.
Hey! Hey, who got the last laugh there, huh?
The turnoff is coming up!
Should I take it?
Joe makes the turn.
I did it, I'm no schmuck!
That's your story!
That's right! The next thing you mess with Frankenstein again, I'm really gonna bust your eye!
What do you mean, really?
As the racers fan out across the country, Frankenstein steers the monster around a curve.
I have an almost unlimited stall possibility. It's pretty far down the road. District Penitence Compound. All those old congressmen chained up can be like sitting ducks.
Yeah, and all I gotta do is drive through a cyclone fence.
Look, the farther west we go, the fewer targets there'll be. Hey, come on. Joe's already on his way to a dead end, and the other two...
Okay.
Take the next ride.
Up ahead.
Now, as soon as the car gets within range, I shall give the signal.
We'll have just under a minute after they reach the turnoff. Lieutenant Fury figures...
Lieutenant Fury has nothing whatever to do with this. I want none of his surprises here.
I could stand for a surprise, like if Frankenstein didn't show up.
Don't worry, he'll show.
The worried man is dressed as Frankenstein's double.
What's our estimated time of arrival in Albuquerque?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, this detour is going to make a difference.
Haven't you calculated our time of arrival?
Well, of course I did, but I couldn't take into consideration...
Take what into consideration?
Frankenstein, stop the car!
Hold on.
As he vaults the monster over a fiery barricade, the rebels scatter.
What the hell?
Keep going! Don't stop now! What are you doing?
What are they doing?
As Frankenstein stops, his double walks towards them, waving at Annie.
Sorry, brother.
Frankenstein runs the man down, leaving Annie grimacing.
That's the best ambush the resistance can come up with. We got nothing to worry about.
I guess not.
One thing I can't figure out is why would they bother to dress that guy up to look like me?
Maybe he was a fan.
In Joe's car...
Who built this stinking road? If I ever get my hands on him, I'll rip his heart out!
Myra giggles.
I made it! I'm sick of this race and I'm sick of you!
Joe swerves to avoid the cracks and potholes in the pavement.
I guess it must have been Joe that set us up for that ambush, don't you think? Got in touch with those guys somehow and told them where we were going?
I guess it might have been.
But then how the hell did Joe know we were going to take a detour? Maybe it was those guys on the pit crew in St. Louis. Took your book out of the car while you were getting massaged.
I didn't leave my book in the car.
You didn't, huh?
No.
Well, then I guess it couldn't have been them. Who do you think it was?
I have no idea. Why do you care, as long as they didn't get you?
Us. They didn't get us. We're a team, remember?
Frankenstein pulls over to the side of the road.
Come on over to my side. You're going to drive for a while.
Why? I'm not trained as a driver.
Never mind why. Just do as I tell you.
She obeys.
Darling, I need to make a nice big score for us.
Sure. Especially mine.
Something will turn up.
I'm sure that it will.
Machine Gun Joe speeds along the route Annie has sent him on. A fisherman watches as Joe slides to a stop beside a riverbank.
Jesus H. Christ! I cannot run! their face!
Joe spots the fisherman.
Hey, Cornball, what's the fastest way through here?
Well, actually, the only way we do it is we get a bulldozer, we trim this edge down here, and we drive through, but...
No, what's the fastest way between here and Albuquerque?
You gotta go back to the main highway, really.
But I lose 45 minutes!
I've seen you before. I'm one of your greatest fans, you know that? I follow all of the races. I got pictures of you all over the outhouse. I named my favorite dog after you, Mr. Frankenstein. I did.
Lousy, stinking dirtball. You got 2 seconds to live.
As Joe circles toward him, the fisherman jumps down the riverbank. Glancing up at the car, he runs through the water and over the rocks in a bid to escape. Joe drives into the water and pursues the man over the rocks. The fisherman trips, but regains his feet as Joe closes in. He trips again, and Joe stops on top of him, grinding his spinning wheels into the man's body. Pete's legs protrude from under the bull as he makes repairs.
I want to get on the road, make a few more scores. My bloodlust is fading.
I'm almost finished, Calamity, sweetheart. We'll be back on the road in no time.
Then
we'll
the buzz bomb speeds straight for Pete.
What'd you say? It's big! You lousy dick! I'll kill you for that! Nobody scores my navigator and gets away with it.
Calamity Jane burns rubber as she takes off after Matilda and Herman.
Here she comes, and boy, is she pissed.
Well, what does she expect? You leave your navigator lying around? Naturally, somebody's gonna run over him.
Jane chases Matilda along a winding mountain road. The road takes the racers through a series of tunnels built into the mountainside. Closes the gap between them. Matilda steps on the gas. Matilda accelerates into a twisty section of road.
She's gaining on us, Mama, and she's got murder on her mind.
Lachshmiel, meine kleine Buzzbomb.
Jane pulls up close, the bull's horns threatening the rear of the buzz bomb. Suddenly, Matilda goes off-road, splattering Jane's windshield with mud. The bull slides to a halt as the buzz bomb fishtails back onto the road and speeds away. Up ahead, four rebels drag an official-looking detour sign and barricade into the road.
Three, one, two.
Moments later, they erect a two-dimensional fake tunnel entrance at the side of the road. Matilda races on. Jane is gaining ground as Matilda enters another tunnel.
Here they come!
As Jane follows the buzz bomb into the tunnel, Matilda emerges from the other end.
Peter, I really needed that right now.
She makes the turn into the fake tunnel entrance and drives the buzz bomb over a cliff. At the bottom of the cliff, the buzz bomb explodes in a ball of smoke and fire. Up above, Calamity Jane pulls up to the precipice.
Holy shit.
A special bulletin. There's been an accident, an explosion. It looks like Matilda has been blown totally...
The press handler hands Junior Bruce a note.
Correction! Matilda has made an impressive score. Stand by.
Meanwhile, behind the wheel of the monster, Annie checks her watch.
Don't you want to take over now? I'm afraid I'm making us lose an awful lot of time.
You're doing just fine.
Up ahead, a young boy idly rolls a tire along the road.
Looks like an easy score.
Yeah, it does.
It's always best to start small. never comes easy. Keep your eyes on the road. How far is it to the penitence compound?
Oh, maybe 20 miles.
Stop the car. Get up. Out.
Frankenstein slips behind the wheel.
Come to the other side. Around the front.
As Annie steps in front of the monster, Frankenstein revs the engine. Annie stops in front of the car and coolly looks him straight in the eye.
Where is the penitence compound?
In Japan.
Get in. I could just put you out of this car and pick up a quick 30 points. Who are you? Who are you working for?
I'm Thomasina Payne's granddaughter.
I'm honored. So you're going to capture me and replace me with that goon back there?
What for?
He was going to deliver our ultimatum to Mr. President. Your life in exchange for the permanent abolition of the race.
Later, in Albuquerque, watched by press photographers and television cameramen, the surviving drivers and their navigators dance across a hotel ballroom floor. On the TV,
she was a great, dear friend of mine. And I shall remember her forever, howling down that freeway in the sky, knocking over the angels.
The valiant Hun's demise was, in fact, caused by enemies of the people. There will be a special broadcast by Mr. President at 1900 hours. Stay tuned to find out how you can help Mr. President preserve...
At dinner...
Clemmy, turn off the television.
...our national honor...
Hey, you guys want to stop playing that song, please?
Look, what we got here is a race, a sporting event, not some kind of daredevil stunt. I want some kind of protection.
You should have given us an escort right after Nero got it.
Come on, don't score any escort, wouldn't you,
baby? Hey, you want to zip your lip, Myra? Huh? Now, you going to cover me or not?
Look, Mr. Viterbo, if you're afraid to go on with the race, why don't you quit?
You're calling me a turkey?
If you ask me, you're all just making excuses for poor driving.
Poor driving? Oh, listen, honey, Matilda the Hun was a champion driver. Ain't nobody could have scored my navigator and gotten away with it. And he's talking about poor driving.
I'd like to see you out there.
Yeah.
Right, I've been driving for 10 years. Nobody talks to me like this. You know, you're an idiot.
Stink.
You
know, it's all on account of the rebels.
Who mentioned anything about rebels? There are no rebels. Understand?
Yeah, then who was that old lady on the television?
Two men approach Frankenstein.
Would you please come outside, sir? We'd like to ask you a few questions.
Come on, Annie.
Alone, if you don't mind.
Mr. President will explain...
Glancing at Annie, Frankenstein gets up.
How did she jam the networks?
How'd she bump off our friends?
She didn't bump off anybody. She walked into a television station, waving a gun, forced them to put her on the air. Now, we've taken her back to the asylum, and that is the end of it.
You know, I got just two words to say about that.
Oh?
Bullshit!
Annie leaves the table.
Hey, I told you to stop playing that song!
You seem to forget, Gerald, that I'm a representative of Mr. President's government. I happen to hold the power of life and death.
Yeah? I happen to hold a clamp saw.
He tips the sauce over the press handler.
Look out, Viterbo. You may be the second biggest clown in this circus, but if I want you dead, you're dead.
Sit down and eat.
Walking over to the string trio, Joe grabs a violin and smashes it.
I told you to stop playing that music!
Outside...
Were they armed, or did they expect the fire in the ditch to be enough to stop you?
I don't know what they expected. We just ran through it all and kept on going.
Just one more question, Mr. Frankenstein. Did you take that particular road on your own initiative, or on the advice of your navigator?
On my own initiative.
Thank you, Mr. Frankenstein. That will be all.
on TV.
There has been a lot of talk about American rebels. We have positive proof that it was none other than the treacherous French who have been sabotaging our great race. Just as they and their stinking European allies have undermined and destroyed our great national economy.
Frankenstein returns to the dining room.
That the word sabotage was invented by the French.
Where's Annie?
Hey, did you hear the news? Mr. President said it was the French who knocked off Nero and Matilda.
Gallant heroes.
Watch out for the crepe Suzette.
Calamity Jane Kelly. Machine gun Joe the Turbo.
Frankenstein walks out.
As they begin the last lap of their long and difficult journey toward New Los Angeles.
Walking across the garage, Annie reaches into the monster.
Grab the key.
He's just looking for something I lost.
The race?
Look, Joe, I threw you off course, okay? All's fair in love and war?
I'm glad to hear you say that, Annie, because what we got going here definitely ain't love.
Well, then why don't we just forget about it?
He grabs her wrist.
You know, it's too bad things ain't like they were in the old days when we just take somebody in an alley and blow the brains out. You know?
Joe, please.
Go ahead and scream, Annie.
Hurting me, Joe.
There's nobody to hear you. Huh?
Joe places his hands around her neck.
How does it feel to know you're going to spend the rest of your life in pain? The rest of your life. It's about a minute and a half.
Hey, Frank. Frank, I'm glad you came here. I caught your navigator trying to screw around with the car, so I thought I'd come out and have a look at what was going on, you know what I mean? Hey, come on.
Frankenstein blocks Joe's punch. The two men tussle across the floor. Joe's punch knocks Frankenstein down. Kicking Joe away, Frankenstein regains his feet and knocks Joe into a workbench. Joe kicks Frankenstein away, hurls a bucket at him, and picks up a crowbar. But Frankenstein lands a punch to the gut. Two more blows knock Joe into his car. Taking another punch to the gut, Joe picks Frankenstein up and shoves him into the wall. Frankenstein chops him across the neck. Frankenstein knocks Joe into a stepladder. Joe spits out a bloody tooth. He gets to his feet swinging, but Frankenstein blocks his punches and hammers him back. Frankenstein's boot sends Joe sprawling across the floor. Grabbing Joe's head, Frankenstein forces his face towards the point of the bayonet on the front of his car. Then he hauls him to his feet and throws him across the hood. Tossing his cape over his shoulder, Frankenstein walks toward Annie.
So much for a fair fight. Next chance I get, you're dead.
Frankenstein stalks across the bedroom floor.
What were you doing down there? Getting more secret instructions from the lunatic fringe?
Nude beneath her dress, Annie slips it off.
Why don't you just turn me in and get it over with?
No need to.
He removes his mask.
You're blowing your cover? No threat to me. Anyway, you're not someone I would throw away.
I have a job to do.
Your job is a waste of time. The world doesn't want to be saved. I'm giving you a chance to save one small part of it. Yourself.
Who are you, anyway?
Nobody. I was brought up in a government training center to be just what I am, Frankenstein, the best driver on Earth, this year. They use one up, they bring in another. But I will be the last of the line.
Oh, who's kidding who?
Frankenstein joins her on the bed and turns her over to face him.
I never kid.
He gazes down into her eyes, then lifts her up until her lips meet his. Frankenstein caresses her with his gloved hand.
Why don't you ever take off that glove?
my secret.
You and the Swiss doctors again?
There are no Swiss doctors. Just Native American. Noel.
As he strokes her breast, Annie pulls him down to her. The next morning, Frankenstein and Annie step into the cockpit of the monster.
Have you checked the oil?
Yes.
Have you checked the hydraulics?
An hour ago.
Brakes, tires, water?
Yeah, they're okay. Everything's okay. Don't worry, I'm not going to do anything to sabotage the car.
As Machine Gun Joe's pit crew pushes his car towards the starting line...
Yeah, I wonder if somebody got points for that eye.
Joe sports a black eye.
Listen, Frankenstein, there's just you, me, and Joe left in the race, and... Well, I just want you to know that whoever wins or whatever happens, it's been really grand racing with you folks. I also want to say that I think you make a real nice couple.
Thank you, Jean.
Good luck.
Calamity Jane walks over to Joe's car.
Joe, Myra, I just want to say, whatever happens, whoever wins...
They save it for the French.
Cars have started, lined up, and ready to roll on the last lap. They're on!
Joe reverses off the line.
Joe has just scored his own pit crew.
You lousy son of a bitch!
Machine Gun Joe Viterbo, that funny man from Chicago, has scored his own mechanics for 40 points and is off to catch Calamity Jane and Frankenstein.
The three racers roar out onto the open highway with Frankenstein in the lead. As Joe passes Calamity Jane, he scrapes the side of the bull.
Here he is, Joe Viterbo, and your mother! We'll see who gets to New L.A. first, with the highest score, too.
It's coming up on the left.
Forget it, I'm keeping Frankie in my sight.
He's got 5 minutes on us, and he's stretching it.
So what? If there's trouble up ahead, he'll find it first.
Oh, yeah, take a look at your face. You'll find it first.
You know, Myra, some people might think you're two. But me, I think you're one very large baked potato.
Roaring down Motorway 66 towards California, Frankenstein looks certain to be first across the line. But Machine Gun Joe is still way ahead on points. And he could win the race even by arriving second in New Los Angeles. What's your prediction, Grace?
You know, Junior, when Machine Gun Joe was just a little boy in Chicago, he had a pet snake that he used to love to ride over with his tricycle.
Meanwhile, ahead of the racers, two rebels watch as a third carefully plants a landmine in the sand. Then they ride away on two dirt bikes. Jane cruises along the highway. One of the dirt bikes emerges from a side road and pulls up beside the bull. The man on back jumps into Jane's car. As he begins strangling her, his buddy lashes out at her with a chain. Pushing the bike away, Jane grabs her attacker's wrist and breaks his grip on her throat. Then she shoves him out of her car. Jane pursues the biker off-road. Toward the landmine, the biker loses control and his machine crashes and burns. Jane slides the bull to a halt, just missing the landmine. With a sigh of relief, she takes off a driving glove and removes her helmet. As she runs her fingers through her hair, she notices a wrecked truck close by and the twisted metal of other wrecks. Putting on her helmet, Jane drives the bull up a slight grade, then rolls back to make a three-point turn, barely missing the mine. Stalling on the grade, she rolls back again, triggering the mine. Jane and the bull burn beneath a pillar of black smoke. In Frankenstein's car...
Break out the thermos of high protrate.
Coming right up.
Frankenstein the thermos. Surreptitiously plucking a capsule from the floor, he drops it into the thermos. Shaking the container to dissolve the capsule, he turns away from Annie and pretends to drink.
Here. I didn't mean to hog it all.
Thanks. What flavor is it?
Vanilla.
Not my favorite.
She drinks.
This isn't vanilla. It's peach or something.
Yeah, well, my taste buds got wiped out in the crash of 97.
Well, it's a good thing that mine are still intact. At least the French can't poison us.
Meanwhile, at the power plant...
What's Frankenstein's location now?
He's about 50 miles out, Lieutenant, and coming fast.
Goodbye, Mrs. Payne. When you see me again, Frankenstein will be my prisoner, and the whole country will know we must be taken seriously.
Fury, wait! I'm coming with you.
No, Mrs. Payne, it's too dangerous.
Nonsense. I've waited 20 years for this moment. Oh, I know I can't join you on the mission, but I want to see you put it off with my own eyes.
Later.
A couple of turnoffs coming up. What's the quickest way to New L.A.?
That's funny.
What?
I can't seem to focus my eyes on the map. I think we stay on 7. I feel like I'm going to pass out.
As Annie's eyes close...
Look at that.
Frankenstein spots a small plane above the hills.
It's them, isn't it?
Please stop the car.
Sorry. We're in a race.
The plane swoops down into the valley.
Frankenstein, stop right now. We want to talk to you. Stop before I force you to.
Lieutenant Fury dives toward the desert floor. Leveling off, he buzzes the monster and peels off for another pass.
I'll bomb you to a halt if I have to.
Frankenstein puts on his helmet and maintains his speed. Glancing over his shoulder, he sees the plane behind him gaining fast, and he speeds up.
Annie, help me! Turn off the engine!
But Annie is unconscious.
Annie's dead, Mrs. Payne. He must have killed her. Now I'm really gonna let him have it.
Diving at the monster, Fury thumbs the trigger and drops a string of bombs along the road.
Look at that. The rebels are sure giving it to Frankenstein. Thank you, rebels. Baby, I think we got this race won.
Aren't we going to help him, Joe?
What, are you nuts or something? I'm getting my ass out of here before they decide to make emergency landing. Come on, sit down. Atta girl.
But as Machine Gun Joe speeds away, more rebels detonate explosives planted in the ground, narrowly missing his car. Joe takes evasive action, zigzagging across the desert floor. Sliding out onto the main road, Joe tromps on the accelerator, barely avoiding a final blast. Meanwhile, Lieutenant Fury makes another bombing run over the monster. Frankenstein drives on, unharmed. Begins another dive, Frankenstein begins swerving from one side of the road to the other. Suddenly, a rebel chase car roars out of the hills and onto the road to join the pursuit. As Frankenstein leads him into an S-curve, the pursuer loses control and crashes into an embankment. Then rolls over and explodes. Glancing up at the sky, Frankenstein sees that Fury is still in the chase. Frankenstein flinches at the shrapnel wound in his shoulder. He wrestles with the wheel as the road winds along the base of the hills. With Fury right on his tail, he turns up a gully and darts into a tunnel. Fury flies into the hill.
Well, America, there you have it.
Frankenstein has just been attacked by the French Air Force, and he's whipped their derrieres. His point total for this one will be something astronomical. Machine Gun Joe better watch out.
Back on the road, Annie wakes up in the monster's cockpit.
Right on schedule.
Hey, what happened?
I slipped you a 30-minute sleep ex. Didn't want you doing something back there we would both regret.
Did they attack us?
According to the radio, we were attacked by the French Air Force.
Was the plane shot down?
Even those Swiss doctors couldn't have helped. I'm sorry. I know they were your people. But I can't let anything stop me now.
They didn't expect you to give up easily. They were prepared for whatever happened. Oh, my God, you've been hit.
I'll make it.
I'm sorry things worked out this way.
It's not over yet.
I'm afraid it is.
Hey, Annie grabs the wheel. As they wrestle for control of the car, the monster veers off the highway and across the rocky ground. While Annie hangs on, the car rushes toward a precipice. Finally, Frankenstein stands on the brakes. Frankenstein walks away from the car, and Annie runs after him.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
It doesn't make any difference what happens to me now.
Now, that is the dumbest, sorriest thing I've ever heard you say. I don't believe you've got a drop of Thomasina Payne's blood in your whole body. The minute things get rough, you close your eyes and try to drive us off a cliff. If you just stop trying to kill me for a minute, I need your help.
How can you possibly expect me to help you?
You're my navigator.
You're the only one who knows where you're going. I mean, whose side are you on, anyway? I thought the only thing you cared about was winning the race.
Frankenstein removes his glove.
Only the winner of the race gets to shake hands with Mr. President.
Is that a grenade?
A hand grenade.
It's an implant.
That handshake is all I've lived for as long as I can remember.
Now, wait a minute. I don't want you to die.
It's my life's work.
Later, as Machine Gun Joe speeds toward New Los Angeles, Frankenstein drives hard to catch up, piloting the monster along the narrow road that twists and winds through the hills. Up ahead, Joe thunders along an open straightaway. Joe glances over his shoulder and spots the monster, out of the hills and coming on hard. Frankenstein follows Joe around a curve and across a bridge, gaining ground with each passing second. Pulling up behind Joe, Frankenstein sits on his tail, and Joe urges his car forward. Frankenstein swings out to pass, but Joe veers across the road to block his path. Joe pulls a switch on his dash, spraying the road behind him with oil. The monster hits the oil slick. Frankenstein hangs on through a 360-degree skid, then steers his car into the ditch and forces it over the rough ground. Knocking over signs, he crashes through a barricade and drives onto the other side of the highway. Stepping up through the gears, Frankenstein catches up to Joe, each car on its own side of the highway. As the divided highway ends, Frankenstein falls in behind Joe. He swings out to one side, then the other, and slams into Joe's car. Running side by side, the two drivers jockey for position, trying to force each other off the road. Taking Frankenstein's artificial hand, Annie removes the glove, bearing the hand grenade implant. Pulling the hand away, yanks the pin from the grenade and locks the lethal limb into Myra's lap.
Hey, stop! Will you stop the car?
Get up! What is
it? Stop the car! Stop the car! Will you stop the car? Stop the car! Stop it!
You're gonna have to shift the gears for me now. The only thing that worries me is how am I going to shake hands with Mr. President?
Mr. President's the one who should be worried now.
Frankenstein wheels the monster through the outskirts of New Los Angeles. Up ahead, at a pyramid-like structure festooned with race regalia.
He's coming! Can you hear that engine? Still in perfect tune. Here he is, the one and only three-time winner and sole survivor of the 20th annual Transcontinental Road Race, none other than Frankenstein himself.
Frankenstein gets out of his car.
And now, Mr. President.
Our enemy, the French, have destroyed nearly all our gallant races. Just as they have crippled our once great economy and wrecked our telephone system. But even they, in all their evil power, we're unable to destroy Frankenstein, who is the embodiment of our national virtue, and therefore, indestructible.
As Frankenstein mounts the stage with a knife hidden in one gloved hand, Thomasina Paine steps out of the crowd.
To lead you in this.
As Mr. President turns to embrace Frankenstein, Thomasina raises her pistol and fires.
Frankenstein has been shot. There is a French spy in our midst. Guard, seize that woman.
Frankenstein, you all right?
Mr. President removes Frankenstein's mask, but it's Annie beneath it. As guards help Annie off the stage, Frankenstein pulls himself upright in the monster.
Annie!
Then accelerates right at the stage.
Frankenstein.
Officials scatter as Frankenstein drives into the stage. The platform collapses beneath Mr. President, who lies dead across the hood of the car. Officials and fans rush to the scene as Frankenstein struggles to extricate himself from the wreck. Annie hurries over and helps him out. Then she lifts Frankenstein's good hand high in the air in victory. Later.
Mr. and Mrs. President Frankenstein, dear friends of mine, can you tell us what your first official acts will be?
I plan to pension off the secret police, restore free elections, end minority privilege, and move the seat of government back to New Los Angeles. The country has been governed from abroad long enough.
Mr. President Frankenstein, is it true that you are now accepting rebels into your government?
Well, since I have accepted one into my house.
President Frankenstein has appointed my great-grandmother, Thomasina Paine, in view of her experience in the field, as the Minister for Domestic Security.
And I plan to deal very harshly with rebels. Anybody who is unhappy with happiness can go find someplace else to live.
What about the race?
The race is abolished.
Abolished?
That's right.
We feel that the country no longer needs this gratuitous display of violence to show the world that its virility is still intact.
Right.
But Mr. President Frankenstein, isn't it true that as a racer, your popularity depended entirely on violence?
I'm afraid I shall have to let my press secretary answer that question.
Stop annoying Mr. President with impertinent questions, Junior.
It's the race, man. President Frankenstein, you can't call off the race. The American people won't stand for it.
Get out of the way, Junior.
The race is the symbol of everything we hold dear, our American way of life. Sure, it's violent, but that's the way we love it. Violent, violent, violent. And that's why we love you.
Frank, do we have to listen to this?
Be violent.
No.
Frankenstein and Annie run over Junior Bruce in their new car.
As to this matter of violence, the technique of violence was first developed in 2 million B.C. by the Australopithecines, a tribe of 4-foot primates who had no brains to speak of, but who, nevertheless, invented the tomahawk and used it on each other. This practice led to the enlargement of the brain, another useful weapon. Yes, murder was invented even before man began to think. Now, of course, man has become known as the thinking animal.
This described version of Death Race 2000 was created by Audio Vision Canada. The narrative description was written by Bill Williams, narrated by Donna Pricing, and produced by Valerie Hunter and Marco Sorin. For information on other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audio Vision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Cast: David Carradine, Frankenstein, Simone Griffith, Annie, Sylvester Stallone, Machine Gun Joe Viterbo, Mary Warnoff, Calamity Jane, Roberta Collins, Matilda the Hun, Martin Cove, Nero the Hero, Louisa Moritz, Myra, the real Don Steele, Junior Bruce, Joyce Jameson, Grace Pander, Carl Benson, Harold, Sandy McCallum, Mr. President. Directed by Paul Bartel. Produced by Roger Corman. Copyright 1974, Columbia Associates Limited.